Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I am a sex journalist and blogger. I am relatively new to the world of sexting, but I'm excited to talk to you about it today. Who are you?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a blogger and very experienced in the world of sexting and also very excited to talk to you about it today because it's kind of my favorite.
You're sexperienced, if you will. That's a mouthful of a portmanteau. My goodness.
There's a mouthful joke in there sexting, somewhere, but
you know, I said right off the top that I am not experienced in sexting, but I'm actually thinking back on the totality of my life and realizing that there was a time when I was doing proto-sexting that wouldn't have been called sexting back then, or wasn't in a text message format, but definitely was sort of the spirit of sexting. Things like ICQ chatting, or having cyber sex on Furcadia or RuneScape, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Did you ever have cyber sex, like, way back in the day?
Not much. Only a little. But I remember the first time I did, I was like, oh man, this is a thing that I could do? It's great! And, like, it was not even that raunchy, and it was definitely, like, in a public chat that was not supposed to be for that. But I didn't know how much of an asshole I was being, because I was, like, 18 and a consenting adult. yeah, I just, at the time, was not old enough to understand that... That was rude. And I was, like, talking about making out with someone and real risque. But I definitely remember, like, have a distinct memory of discovering it and being like, this is awesome.
Yeah. I remember that was sort of, like, the time in my life when I discovered that words could turn me on. Which is a really important discovery for me to have made. It's really sort of shaped a lot of the decisions I've made since then. Everything from, like, becoming a writer to, you know, continuing to sext a lot. I used to do this thing in Furcadia where I would, like, get someone to come back to my dream, which is your, like, home in Furcadia, and we would start to have cyber sex. And I would, like, set up this very elaborate scenario where they were going to go down on me, which at the time was, like, the only sexual thing that I was into. Because I hadn't had sex yet. I think I was, like, 13 or 14. and basically, as soon as we started to transition out of the part of the sex involving them going down on me, I would get bored and, like, quit and just leave them hanging, which is really rude. That's bad sexting etiquette.
Whoops. I think one of the things you talked about, like, saying that, like, that's when you realized words could really turn you on, that was definitely, like, a formative thing for me, too, because, so in my bio that I say every week, but of course didn't this week, one of the things I say is that I'm a flirt fetishist, which is a name you gave me, which is awesome, because... I, like, it's the perfect descriptor, because I get off so much on just flirting and dirty talk and sexting, which is a natural extension of that, that, like, sometimes just good, more often than I think for the average person, really good sexting is enough for me. Like, I'm like, I could go on Tinder and, like, get laid or something, or I could just sex someone and not have to leave the house and also get off really good. Like,
That's interesting. We've had this conversation before where, like, you said something like that to me last time you were in Toronto, I think, and I said to you, do you think you could really be happy and satisfied in a sexual relationship that was just sexting and no, like, actual physical sex? And I remember being really surprised that you said yes, because, like, for me, like, sexting is great, but for me it's always been something I do to kind of bridge the gap when I'm not able to physically have sex with the person but will be able to soon, or want to talk about sex I had with them recently or something along those lines. Like, it's just a stopgap measure. It's like foreplay? Exactly. Or a way of, like afterplay in some sense, mm-hmm. like revisiting something that's happened recently. So for me, like, I've occasionally had flirtations with dudes on Twitter where it was just sexting and it was going to only ever be just sexting. And I got bored with those really quickly, and I still do. Like, it's just not something that holds my interest, because I'm always like, okay, you say you're going to do these things, but, like, follow through.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, on the other hand, like, there are different types of sexting. There is stuff that falls more on the flirtier side, where it feels like flirting and, like, foreplay for something in the future, or sexting that's negotiation, which is really fun, which I think we should revisit a little later. Mm-hmm. But, like, then there's sexting that is, like, I don't know, I guess more intense or whatever, where one or both of you are probably or definitely jerking off. Because you're not always jerking off when you're sexting. Sometimes you're playing Skyrim, like, let's be honest. But the kind where, like, it's definitely really intense and you're both very clearly focused almost entirely on that, mm-hmm. that can just be as satisfying, or almost as satisfying as sex for me. Like, it can, kind of, like, almost reset that, like, it's been X amount of time since I got laid, my body needs that again. It can kind of fill that for me. Like, if I'm a sim bar, if I'm a sim and I have a sex bar, it'll refill that for me.
Cool. Yeah, that's, I feel like that's a key difference between us, because I don't feel like it does refill my sex bar. I feel like if anything, it makes it drop lower. Like, the desperation levels go up higher. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, now I really want to have sex and I can't. Like, even if I jerk off while sexting, it still is not a complete finished experience for me psychologically. So that's interesting.
I'm realizing more and more that for me, sex is way more cerebral than it is physical. Mm-hmm. And way more about dialogue and the role play and the dirty talk and all of that stuff. Like, obviously, like, I really like the physical parts too, obviously. Like, I'm not dismissing that. Mm-hmm. But for me, the psychological stuff really, really matters, and I would almost rather have really good sexting than sex where the person is completely silent.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
So we've come this far without actually defining what sexting is. Do you want to attempt to give, like, a holistic, broad definition of what we mean when we say sexting?
So sexting can mean a lot of things, and I've seen people go so far as to include things like Skype sex in there with sexting, but that's not, I generally don't include it. I think it's, like, tangentially related. But what we're talking about today, and what I'm generally thinking about when I mean sex, when I talk about sexting, is text-based communication. Explicit text-based communication about sex, or designed to get someone off, or at least designed to titillate. And I think it can, but doesn't always, include pictures, but I know our conversation today is not going to be talking much about pictures, because we have a lot of opinions on that that would not fit in here, so I think that's going to be sexting part two.
Yeah, we're going to talk about selfies, and I guess also, like, dick pics and other types of nudes.
Hey, I have feelings about dick pics. Don't, like, today I guess really dick pics.
Yeah.
I have opinions.
But today we're focusing in on just the textual aspects, which I think, you know, we're both writers/bloggers, and so words are important to us, and I know that whenever I take one of those intelligence tests that determines what type of intelligence you score most highly on, I always score really highly on the lingual or verbal parts of those. I also know that when I take the love languages test, which tells you the modes in which you give and receive love, I always score highly on giving and receiving in the words of affirmation category. So, like, words are very central to how I express my affection for someone and how I feel that affection mirrored back at me, which is also true of sex. So, of course, words and sex really integrate together for me really closely.
Yeah, and I just talked a whole lot about all of my feelings about words and, like, psychological play, and that's really why sexting works for me. I think there's also a really interesting line between flirting via text and sexting.
Mm-hmm.
And where that line is, because I don't know. but I think that's pretty interesting, too. Usually I kind of consider it sexting once it gets to talking about things you're actually describing activities. You know, once mm-hmm. it starts to get much more descriptive, I'm like, oh, that is a sext. That's not just an innuendo or right. like, yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of texting that can be flirtatious banter, particularly if one or both people is kinky, because I think that really lends itself well to, like, you know, I used to have a partner who would call me princess in casual texts, and that would sort of be a subtle signal that he was feeling dommy, or that he was picking up on that I was feeling subby. And we might not go into, like, intense explicit texts at that moment, but we might slightly start to slip into our kink roles and banter from those roles, which I would consider, like, early stage sexting.
Yeah, definitely.
An example of that is one time I was, like, kind of flirting via Snapchat with this guy I know who's a dommy type, but we had not gotten into, like, intense sexting at all. But it was, like, a really icy day in the middle of winter in Toronto, and, like, particularly icy. Like, there were, like, news bulletins that the ground was really icy. So he sent me a text that said, wear your boots today. And it was such a, like, authoritative command that for me, like, the sub in me really responded to that, and I said, yes, sir. And I think we bantered back and forth a little bit. And, like, that's definitely, it wouldn't be considered sexting by most vanilla people reading that, I think, because it was just, he was giving me a weather advisory, essentially. But it felt really dommy to me.
I've definitely had, like, moments like that, where, like, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily supposed to be sexual, but it totally is, and I think kink is really good for that. Mm-hmm. And then you get to play that really fun game where you're like, so I read that in a way. Was I supposed to read that in that way? Did you mean mm-hmm. that in that way? Do you know the thing about me that I know the thing? Is this a thing? Which is equal parts awful and wonderful. For that, mm-hmm. like, off-kilter, wondering, nervous feeling. I have a lot of feelings about flirting.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also, like, sexts that people can send that are not entirely sexts, but are definitely, like, pointed toward that road, and are sort of like an in, to just experimentally be like, if you wanted to bring up sex right now, you could. Like, when we were going through some of our old texts today, to pick some to talk about on this episode, I sent you that one where this guy had sent me this stock photo he found, and it's someone, like, curving their finger up, but the finger has been photoshopped to look like a little, like, strongman arm and fist.
They're doing, like, the come hither motion.
Right. And so the guy, he's someone who's finger banged me a lot, and he knows that I like quite a lot of pressure. And so he was like, I just found this picture and it made me think of you. And that's, like, sweet, but, like, it's an invitation to sext a little bit. If I wanted to, I could be like, that's really funny, and I remember the last time you did that, and it was so good, you know. I could go mm-hmm. into some stuff from there.
Yeah, definitely. And I like, even just, like, mid-conversation, finding that thing to kind of make it a little innuendo.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, to kind of broach the topic without being like, hey, I would like to see you naked now. Is that a thing that we could arrange? Could we make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love straightforward communication like that, I think it's also, it shows, like, a cleverness and a social intelligence to be able to kind of navigate a conversation in a way that's witty and also sexy. Mm-hmm. And that kind of cleverness is a real turn on as well.
Yep, 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 yep. So one of my favorite types of sexts to receive, like I was saying, is like the day after really good sex, because for me it's like it's very affirming. Like one of the texts I had written down here as an example of a good sext I've received was just that blowjob last night was absolutely fantastic. By the way, not many people have been able to get me to come that way. Which is just, like, a really lovely thing to hear the day after and gives me an opportunity to talk more about that blowjob if I wanted to get into some sexting again and kind of build up excitement for the next time or whatever. And I also think it can be a really great way to sort of, like, debrief after a sexual encounter and in a way that's really hot and really positive be like, here are the things that I really liked that you did and maybe here are some things you can work on for next time. So it can be a really positive, helpful avenue through which to discuss any criticisms you might have in a way that doesn't feel like a criticism.
Yeah, definitely. And I think something we talked about earlier is that sex, or at least that I brought up earlier, is that sexting can be a really good way to negotiate, especially with someone you haven't really played with before.
Yeah.
Because it's really low stakes and, like, you can, so you're a huge improv nerd, and you can kind of do that thing where when you're sexting someone, you float out a bunch of ideas and maybe mention, like, you describe a scenario where three or four different things are happening, and talk about, like, you know, I don't know, going down on someone and also, like, lubing up your finger and playing with their ass a little bit, or something like that. And then they can respond by focusing only on the fact that you're, you know, going down on them or sucking their cock or whatever. And completely ignore that finger thing you just said in hopes that you'll drop it. Or they can talk about, like, how they'd push their hips back towards your finger, and, like, moan in whatever way, or, you know, so that it's kind of encouraging and like, oh yeah, that is a thing I'm interested in. So it's a really low-key way to kind of feel out a new partner and see what they're into and what kind of stuff they really respond well to. So I think that's really helpful.
I've wanted to write a piece for a long time about the interaction between sexting and anxiety, because as a person who has anxiety, like, it can be a lot of pressure in the moment during sex to ask for what I want or to ask the person to give me directions for what they want. And so sexting is like the sexual equivalent of all the obsessive Googling I'll do before I attempt anything new in my life. Like, it's like a form of, like, research and data collection. In that I can talk about what I want and I can hear what they want and have time to process those things before we actually have sex. And it's also, like you were saying, like, a really low stakes way of communicating what I want, because basically, we're just mutually spinning a fictional story in some sense. And so if I mention something that I want to do, I'm not explicitly phrasing it as, like, I want to do this thing and I will be sad if we don't do this thing. It's more just like, like, almost like improv, like you were saying, like, it's like a hypothetical. And if it remains just in the sexting, then that's fine. It doesn't have to translate to our real life sex. And if they want to ignore that I said that thing, like, about putting a finger in their butt or whatever, they fully can. So it's like it's really helpful for me as an anxious person to kind of work out my feelings and my desires. It's good.
Yeah. And it's not, like, I'm not trying to imply that it's a complete replacement for any sort of, like, consent or negotiation conversations you're having, but it's a really good low-stakes way to get an idea of the groundwork. And also, when someone is sexting me about, if I'm sexting someone about sucking their cock, and they're describing to me how I'm gonna suck their cock, odds are, that's how they like their cock sucked. And that's probably a thing I should remember if I plan on having their cock in my mouth in the future. So it's also a really good way to, like, kind of drop important information in there. That's basically like getting the strategy guide for your person and all the cheat codes.
it's so true. I always say, like, if someone brings up finger banging me when we're sexting, I always will say something about, like, I'll tell you to go deeper, or like, oh, you're fucking me so deep, that's exactly how I like it. Because I'm like, my A spot is very important to me, but I don't want to, like, say that always necessarily. Later down the line, I'll probably link them to an article about it so they can read up. But for the time being, like, sexting is a really good way to just be like, hint, hint, I like it really deep. And then maybe, hopefully, they'll remember that when the time comes to actually use that knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when someone does remember that, it's extra awesome, because not only is it like, oof, they're doing the thing that I like, yay, that feels good, it's also like, oh my god, they remembered this thing that I said a while ago, and like, it shows that they're prioritizing your pleasure, and that they were into the idea of fucking you enough to be like, oh, file that shit away, and to whip it out later on, and like, it just, oof.
Whip it out.
Lol.
It's, yeah, just, I agree. Ugh. I always think of that time that we had a party at an Airbnb you were staying at, and I went out on the balcony to make out with my fuck buddy dude, and I had recently tweeted, just offhandedly, something about how I love when people grind their thigh into my vulva while we're making out or while we're doing foreplay things. And he, like, without missing a beat, started grinding his thigh into my vulva while we were making out, and I was like, oh, that's new. He must have seen my tweet. I was very pleased with him. He got an A+ on that.
Yeah.
Good reading comprehension.
I've definitely, like, said things on the podcast, and then later, like, while sexting my sir, he says stuff, and I'm like, you learned that from me. I know where you got that from. Carry on. Please continue.
Because it's not fun to tell someone explicitly, like, here are the words I want you to use, and here are the things I want you to say. Because it's like, then they're just parroting it back to you, and that's boring, and it doesn't feel like they really want to say it. Like, they're just reciting it. So yeah. If they pick up on pieces from sexting or other places where they've seen or heard you talk about the kinds of things you want, that's really hot, because they're, again, using their social intelligence, and that is extremely attractive.
Yeah, and especially, like, as people who are both on the submissive side of things, going to a dominant person and saying, hi, this is how you dom me, is not always fun. Like, there's things, again, I'm part of being a sexual adult is communicating your needs, but having them pick up on, like, the little things can be really cool. And I mean, to be fair, not everyone writes about their sexuality on the internet quite so openly as we do. Really, if you ever plan on fucking us, just Google us and you'll know exactly how. But for a lot of other people, sexting is a good way to kind of communicate those things. I also like telling people in DS Dynamics to get erotica and highlight, have the submissive highlight their favorite things, and just kind of leave the book for the dominant person to flip through at their leisure, and they're still planning the scene, they're still deciding what happens, but now they have suggestions, and they can kind of pick and choose from there. So things like that are kind of fun, too, and just, like, creative ways to communicate not necessarily the things you need, but things that would be fun. So, something I know we have a lot of opinions on is kind of sexting etiquette.
Very important.
Yeah, but there is no, like, fancy rule book for us to reference. That is, until I write one. So in the meantime, what are some of the things that are really important to you when it comes to, like, sexting etiquette? What are the things people should keep in mind?
So one of the things is about, like, timeliness and kind of just the general way that time unfolds in and around sex. Because, like, I think for me, as a person with anxiety, I get really freaked out if I send a sext, particularly one that's, like, I'm mentioning something new or something that's, like, slightly scary to me or slightly vulnerable to admit or to say that I want, and then they
which
don't
as a person
me
with
ages.
Anxiety, which as a person with anxiety can be pretty much anything, just to keep in mind.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's true.
It may not seem scary to anyone else except us.
Right, like, earlier today I was talking to you about how I had texted this guy a pun which involved the word flirt, and it implied that he had been flirting with me, and I was like, what if he thinks that's weird? What if he doesn't think that he's been flirting with me, even though he clearly had?
And not so, only, okay, not happens. Only is this someone who has flirted with you, it's someone you have fucked regularly.
I know, but I didn't want to come off as, like, too romantic or something.
Like, I think it's pretty fair to say he's hit on you once or twice.
Yeah, but so this is my point, is that people with anxiety, like, can get freaked out about dumb shit, and, like, we can't really help it. So if I send a text that I feel is vulnerable and the person doesn't answer for 3 hours or 2 days or, in one case, 6 weeks.
Oh my god, I fucking forgot that dude. Why? Why does he exist?
I know. I was so angry. I had gone through all
you
the stages
through-
of grief.
You did. You had a whole process.
It was awful. And 6 weeks later, he goes, "Sorry, I went a little quiet. I guess I'm shy." I was like, fuck
I
you.
Guess.
Fuck you. Anyway, so you should reply to sexts promptly when you can. And if you can't, you should explain that. Either send a quick message that says, "Hey, sorry, I'm busy doing this thing right now, but I would love to talk to you later about this." Or when you actually do get back to your phone, just be like, "Sorry to leave you hanging. I was doing XYZ," and then respond to the sext.
And two things I find really helpful with that. Mm-hmm. A, as a person with anxiety, I really like apps that have, and I know this is a mixed thing. A lot of people with anxiety don't, but I really like apps that have read receipts, because mm-hmm. for me, I can process that in a way such that I'm like, oh, it's been read and I got no answer. Cool. Conversation's done. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Or it hasn't even been read yet. Great. They're not ignoring me. They'll get to it eventually. But sending, like, a text over a regular text messaging thing where I can't see if they've answered me or anything, I'm like, have they read it? Are they ignoring me? They hate me. God, they hate me. Everything's awful. Like, and I can get much, much more anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing to kind of talk about bouncing off of that, is the etiquette for sending someone a message that is a sext. Like, because you're talking about how you'll send things out of the blue and then it might get ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have an established dynamic, maybe don't open with a text that's like, "Your cock would feel so good in my mouth right now. I want your cum down my throat." Like, maybe open with, "Hey, what's going on?" Because you never know what situation people are in. Like, if you have an established dynamic where that is a thing you do, a really explicit text out of nowhere can be really hot. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you glance at your phone and are expecting to be like, you want Chinese for dinner? And instead it's like, God, I want to be in your ass right now. Like, that's worth looking at. And that can be, like, that, like, surprisingly hot kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's someone new or that you don't sext with that often or who you know doesn't have a privacy lock on their phone, maybe open with something a little more like we were talking about earlier, something flirty that can be turned into a sext.
Right. I have a good example here.
Yeah.
In my list of things to refer to. When we were in Minneapolis and I bought that stone crop that I have, I had posted some pictures. I had, like, Instagrammed or tweeted some pictures of the crop. And a dommy guy who I was kind of intermittently flirting with at the time sent me a message and he said, that looks like a really fun crop that you picked up. And that is such a great opening text for the type of conversation he clearly wanted to have, because I could just be like, yeah, it is a great crop. Or I could have gone into more of a sexual tone, which is what I did. And I said something about how it was really stingy and it would probably bruise really well, which gave him his opening to be like, I think he said something like, it looks like it would be fun to make you all pink and bruisey with it. And, you know, we went down a sexy road.
Well, and also the thing with that that's really interesting is that he didn't comment publicly on a post saying,
Right.
Oh, that's cool looking. He privately messaged you, which was definitely an indicator of like, hi, would you like to talk about this in detail right now? That would be great.
Yeah, and that is a nuanced thing, but like the method of delivery is really important because like, sometimes people tweet dommy shit at me just publicly tweeting, and like, if they have my consent to do that, it can be okay, but like, they usually don't, and like, I can't really publicly get into sexting with someone. I don't really want to do that, so private messaging is the way to go if we're gonna actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I think is really important is that you should proofread your sexts before you send them. Please, dear God. Oh my God,
sometimes it's hilarious, though.
It's true, but, I mean, especially if it's, like, early days when you're flirting with someone and you're really trying to make a good impression, it just comes across as, like, so, I want to say unprofessional, but, like, it's not a professional thing, but, like, it
please
just comes
professionally
across
sext me.
Like, I want to see that you're putting effort into it, though, because if you're not putting effort into it, you probably don't really care about me that much, or you're not that excited about this conversation we're having. That's how I interpret it, anyway. And so, like, I, for example, there was this dommy guy I was sexting with who is really bad at looking at the text he's writing while he writes it, I guess, because he always has autocorrect mistakes in his texts. And he would say things like, I want to duck you so hard. And I'd be like, well, now I'm just laughing. I'm not turned on anymore.
Well,
I'm just
laughing. That's
the other
thing. It's not hot. It's hilarious. But it's not hot.
Yeah, it takes me out of the moment. And if you don't want to do that, you have to be a little bit more careful with managing what you're actually typing.
Yeah. Yeah, and so kind of bouncing off of the proofreading thing is make sure, because you said, like, when people don't proofread, it feels like they're not totally involved, they're not totally caring.
Mm-hmm.
Actually showing enthusiasm and make sure you actually are involved. So I'm going to come back to the improv thing again, but one of the basic tenets of improv is yes and, right?
Yes.
So you take whatever they say at you. You don't say no to it because then you've shut down the entire dialogue and, like, you walk away. So you don't reject something they say. You take it and then you add to it. But sexting that one person is completely spinning the story and the other person is like, yeah, that'd be so hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you have given me nothing to work with. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And sometimes sometimes, like, one-sided storytelling can be fun, but please don't make that the entirety of my sexting experience with you.
Right.
And think about, like, the first few times we're sexting as an audition. So maybe that's not the time to make me do all the work, because that's not totally fun for me.
Yeah. And I can get, like, if there's, like, a dom-sub dynamic where one person is being really toppy and doing all the stuff, I can get that as the bottom, you might feel like you have nothing really to contribute to that conversation because they're just telling you all the things that they're going to do to you. But there's actually so much you can say. Like, you can respond, like, oh, that would make me really wet, or I would try really hard to do a good job for you, or am I being a good girl for you, or I would hope that you were going to do this thing next, or I would ask you for this thing. Like, there's so much
exactly.
you can have.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things is to talk about, either talk about how I would respond to what they say they're doing. So, like, if someone is talking about, you know, fucking, or holding a magic wand on my clit while they spank me, I might talk about, like, arching my back to push myself into the toy and then flinching each time they hit me. Or something like that, where it's like, okay, I am receiving all of the action, but I'm not just like, yeah, I love it when you beat my ass.
I also think it's important to pay attention to the words that someone uses and the words they don't use. And I know that this is particularly important when it comes to folks who have gender feels, or like, that's something that you've talked to me a lot about. But even for folks who are, like, cis, like, I know that there are certain slang terms for genitals that really take me out of a sexy headspace and make me laugh or gross me out. And so if I'm using the word cock a lot, maybe pick up on the fact that that's my preferred term for a penis when I'm sexting, or if I'm calling my own anatomy a cunt versus a pussy, or, you know, pay attention to the words that the person uses and then make use of those yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Because odds are I'm using words that turn me on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And odds are if you're actually sexting me, I have very intentionally included those words and found ways to include the ones that you should use. So here's kind of a divisive thing in the world of sexting. How do you feel about emojis in sexting?
So many feelings. I've seen emojis used to startlingly good effect. One that jumps to mind for me immediately is I was sexting with a fuck buddy of mine. It actually wasn't super intense sexting. We were actually more just, like, negotiating what we were about to do. And he knew that I was on my period. And so he was trying to figure out what we could do and what I would feel comfortable doing. So he sent me a text that said, "Are you still, quote, going with the flow?" But instead of quotes, it was wine glass emojis. Wine glasses looked like they were full of blood. And it was just such a, like, witty usage of emojis that I found really funny.
I don't remember this story, and yet I know who it is.
Yeah, so I think if you're using them in a way that's funny or witty or in some way subversive or turns them on their head, I really like that. I'll also say, you might have noticed if you follow me online, I'm a fan of the heart eyes emoji. I think that it really expresses something that sometimes you just can't say in words.
Yeah, I think emojis definitely fall into that yes and portion of what I was talking about, where, yeah, you can use them really creatively. Like, I have my sir will send entire stories in exclusively emoji, and I don't know how he does it, but it's like an entire sex scene made out of emojis just laid out for me. It's beautiful. And that's awesome. But, and, like, again, it's that, like, cleverness that adds to it that's like, that is so, how did you do that? That is so good. And also they can be hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I think they're good for that, like, flirty stuff on the edge of flirting. Like, on the edge of sexting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they also run into the trap of seeming like, a no, or just a yes, and not the yes end.
Right. It feels like they could have typed it really quickly and not really have been thinking about it. And sometimes it feels like a bit of a pat response. Like they haven't really processed it or thought about it. And they're just trying to get you to go away, basically.
Yeah.
So they have to be used well.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, if I just sent you a block of text and you just sent me an emoji, it's like, are you engaged? Like, and do I have I have nothing to take from that. So mm-hmm. sometimes, like, I'll respond with emojis and then the conversation, they'll respond with something else and the conversation will go on normal. Or if it doesn't, I'm like, all right, this is not a sexting time right now. And then mm-hmm. kind of move on. Yeah. But I think you need to be very conscientious of how you use emojis when you're sexting someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you said you got that text about the stone crop, you kind of rattled off a list of potential answers that you could have given. And I think a lot of people really, they come at sexting and they think they're not good at it, or they don't know how, or they don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. What are some kind of things to keep in mind when you're sexting? What would you say to someone who thinks they don't know how to sext?
Yeah, I think that probably the most important, first and foremost thing is that you should say what you want to do. And it's really basic, and sometimes it might feel slightly clunky and obvious to be like, I really want to do XYZ to you. But, I mean, enthusiasm is the hottest thing almost universally, and pretty much whatever you say to someone, as long as you have an existing dynamic with them where they're usually consenting to be sexted, like, if you say you want to do something to them, they're probably going to be excited about it, or at least it'll be a jumping off point for some kind of discussion. So that's a really good, like, just think about whatever you want to do to them, and surely you want to do things to them because you want to bang them, so you can tell them what you want to do to them.
Yeah, and I definitely like, as a response to sexts, I like to talk about, like, things like, you can respond by either continuing the scene and being like, yeah, you're doing that while I blah blah blah. Or you can talk about, sometimes I get really meta and talk about how I'm actually responding to the sext I got.
Yes.
Where I'll be like, and I just squealed awkwardly loudly at the mall, so that's great, good, things like that, especially because I'm in a dynamic where getting me all embarrassed and flustered in public is fun. So sometimes I'll talk about how I'm responding to that, or even things like, you know, God, hearing you say that is making my dick so hard, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Can be really good.
You can go into the past a little bit. If you have had past sexual experiences with this person, you can bring up things like, that time that we fucked in the park, I was so hard and I wanted to bend you over and spank you. And use that as a jumping off point to talk about what you want to do or what you wish that you had done. Or even just to be like, hey, remember that time that I came in your mouth in that Airbnb I was staying in? Wasn't that super hot?
Yeah, and also, you can, even if you're not talking about a past scenario that did happen, but you want an excuse to bring something up, be like, I saw this thing and it reminded me of that time. Or hell, I had a dream where XYZ. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to actually have the dream. I condone this kind of lying.
Like, wait, I have two perfect examples of what you just said.
Okay.
It just happened too. So, like, a few days ago, my friend Suze tweeted that she had a dream that me and her had a threesome. And I think she probably really did have that dream. But either way, I don't really care, because the next day we had a threesome. Partly because she tweeted that at me, and so it got me thinking about it. And then the other thing was that last night I was editing the previous week's episode of the Dildorks, the butt stuff episode, and it prompted me to send a text to a fuck buddy that was like, hey, I'm editing the butt stuff episode of the Dildorks, and it's making me want you to fuck me in the ass again. Like, that's easy. And
exactly.
I expressed a desire, and he responded favorably. That's not really hard to do, but it's a great way to kind of kickstart that conversation.
And there have been plenty of times where I have fabricated scenarios so that something would happen that would remind me of a person I was already thinking of. And I could text them about it, so it didn't seem like I was just sitting there jerking off to them, which I was. But sometimes being able to point to a thing, one of the things I say during my workshops, no matter what the workshop is on, I talked about one this thing that you've always wanted to try. Even if I didn't, I'll back you up. If your partner shows up and is like, did you really talk about, like, daddy dom role play in your blowjob class? I'd be like, yeah, totally. Absolutely. We did a whole unit on it. Went into deep detail. It was a very important portion of my blowjob class. And you should do that with your partner if that's a thing you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretend good. You read it in a magazine, you saw it on a TV show. I don't care. Just bring it up and be like, this is a thing that I encountered recently. How do you feel about that? I totally just thought about it, coincidentally, on a whim. So I think that's also a really good way to kind of introduce stuff like that.
Also, on the topic of kink and kind of broaching sexting conversations that are more on the kinky side, there are certain sort of, like, watch phrases that you can throw into an otherwise not terribly sexual conversation to kind of kick it up to 11. It's like, something I say sometimes when a domly dude tells me to do something or suggests that I should do something is I'll be like, is that an order? Then maybe with a wink face. Because that is just, like, a very easy way of being like, I would like to be bossed around right now.
That's a good one. I've also used when people ask me to do something for them, or if I've already done it, and they're like, oh, thanks, like, awesome, you did the thing. I'll be like, yeah, I'm real good at following directions. And it's the kind of thing that is really good for also figuring out if they're kinky.
Because
other people will just be like, haha, yeah. Or you'll just get, oh, really now?
My favorite example of this, also one of the all-time best sexts I've ever received, was when we were planning our threesome with my fuck buddy, and he was talking about how he was excited to see how many orgasms we could get everybody to have. And I said, I don't really have multiple orgasms. Like, I'm usually, like, a one-and-done type of person. And he said to me, well, like, maybe if you took a few days off masturbating for a few days beforehand, maybe we could get 3 out of you. And I was like, is that an order? Because I really, really wanted it to be an order. And he was like, he immediately...
That's basically like, can you rephrase that question for me?
Yes. But he was so good. He like, passed the test with flying colors because he immediately went into dommy mode and replied, that is an order. Are you going to be a good girl and wait a few days for my cock? And it was just, like, immediate 10 out of 10 chills, sploosh, like, gold medal, sexting Olympics, yes, you passed. Fuck that, fuck yeah, is our weekly segment where we tell you something that we love and something that we hate. What's your fuck that, Bex?
So, my fuck that is people that, like, try to sext before I'm about sexting them. So I've had people, like, that I meet on OKC or something really trying to sext me before we've even gone out on, like, OKC or Tinder or anything like that. And it really depends on the person, because sometimes I'm down and other times I'm like, bro, who are you? And certainly not people that, like, sext me out of the blue on, like, Twitter and shit, and I've never heard of them or don't know who they are.
Yeah.
That's basically the unsolicited dick pic of text. But, like, even people I've been talking to that just kind of pull that out. I remember I was talking to someone on OkCupid, and he was like, wow, you, like, really seem like you're not that into sexting, huh? And it threw me for a loop, because I was like, I'm not that into sexting? Am I? Not? No. And then I was like, no, just not with you! What? Like, I don't feel comfy with you, and it feels like, sometimes it'll feel exploitative where I'm like, you just wanna sext me, though. Like,
yeah.
Is this even gonna ever turn into a date? Like, ugh. So, yeah. That is my fuck that. What's yours?
Yeah, I mean, I have a similar one, and it's the non-consensual usage of my favorite words and phrases.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there are some words and phrases that if you're not kinky or if you don't have my specific kinks, then they might not seem that impactful to you. Like, some that come to mind for me are daddy, good girl, princess, talking to me like I'm a teacher's pet. Those are things that put me in a very specific headspace, and if it's not a headspace that I've consented to get into with this particular person, then that can be really jarring and feel really creepy and bad sometimes. Especially because, like, I'm subby, so sometimes a part of me wants to respond to those things in a subby way and prove myself as a good girl or whatever role I'm being put into. And it's like, no, I don't have to do that. But a part of me feels like I want to, and that's, like, a gross, weird, non-consenty thing to get into. So, like, for me, I hate when people use those words and phrases cavalierly with me as if it's just a thing that I like and not a thing that is, like, core to my sexuality and my identity.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you were saying earlier, it's so easy to make it seem, like, for it to not seem sexual to other people when... I think for us, or at least for me, sometimes using words like that feels almost like non-consensually touching me. Like,
right. Yeah.
I'm going to react in the same way. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a level of intimate that I'm not ready for.
Yeah, totally. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is using sexting to play out scenarios that you can't in real life, or that just aren't practical, or, I mean, aren't physically possible, mm-hmm. And things like that. So one of the ones I've revisited a couple different times with my sir is talk, and it's one of my favorite things for us to sext about, is talking about him bringing me to a room full of other people and negotiating on my behalf, and just me being really objectified and used by all these other tops while he watches, which is awesome. But we would need, so my sir and I don't live in the same place, so we would need to be in the same place with a indeterminate number of people that are interested in both of us, that are interested in being submissive to him and domming me, and all interested in doing that on the same day. So logistically, it's not going to be the most feasible thing in the world. However, the idea of him orchestrating an entire scene for me is really fucking hot. Mm-hmm. So we can sext about it all the time, and he can tell me in detail all the things they're going to do to me, and then how, like, he'll be able to stop it at any time and use me the way he wants to. And I'm having a moment. And that's a thing that we can really play with without actually playing with it.
Right.
Which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great way for people to explore tons of other things. Sex in space. Or for a monogamous couple to explore bringing in a third or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is people who are really good at weaving vivid images in their sex. So I'm a writer, so this is something I think a lot about. I'm not a fiction writer, so that's not always the thing that I'm super good at, but I definitely do notice it in other people's writing. I have this one fuck buddy who's not a writer, but he has sort of a writerly brain, which I think is part of why we get along so well. And he's just really good at creating very evocative images. I'm looking at some of the sexting highlights that I compiled for this episode, and he used adverbs like roughly and mercilessly to talk about banging me. My favorite is he once described his morning wood as being like smuggling a potato. Which, like, It's very goofy, but it's an image. That's very evocative. I could feel it. I could see it. You know, it actually weirdly did make me want to put my mouth on it, even though...
I do have strong feelings about potatoes.
I mean, yeah.
Let's be honest.
And, like, I've been around his dick, so I understand the comparison. I've done, like, a few times since then, I've had his dick in my hand and gone, shit, that's like there's a potato in my hand.
With you were talking about different language people use, and I think even you talked about earlier people using the right words for your body and bits, mm-hmm. but like also the right kind of descriptors.
Mm-hmm.
Like something I've talked about is having someone like absentmindedly stroking their cock while they watch me. And that mm-hmm. word is important because it really, like, they're kind of indifferent and just, like, mildly, like, it's a specific word for a specific feeling, and I've had it parroted back at me, and I'm like, yes, ha, you get it! So, yeah, I think that really descriptive and evocative imagery is really important.
Yeah, I like, when I'm role-playing some kind of, like, DDLG age play scenario, there are certain words that I come back to as descriptors of my kind of little girl persona, and they're things like obedient, clever, precocious, and to have someone describe me in those terms gives me that little, like, teacher's pet rush that I'm kind of looking for, and yeah, it's super important. Pay attention to the language that people use to talk about themselves. They are telling you something very important when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for tuning into the sexting episode of the Dildorks. We're so excited that next week's episode is going to be a continuation of this, and we're going to talk about the image side of sexting, which is going to be selfies and nudes and dick pics and all those fun things.
Oh my god, I've already come up with so many ideas of things I want to talk about.
Yes. So my name's Kate Sloan. I've been one of your co-hosts. I write a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I do a lot of journalism, which you can check out at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My username there is girly_juice. What's all your stuff, Bex?
I'm Bex. I blog at bextalksex.com. I'm at bextalksex on Twitter and Instagram, so you can follow me over there. And we are the Dildorks. We're at thedildorks.com. And you can follow us at The Dildorks on Twitter or shoot us an email at thedildorks@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, feedback, you want to tell us how cute we are, you know, any of those things.
Mm-hmm. So until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the Dildorks.
Hey.
That was my Kate impression.
I really feel like you should work on that one. It's not ready to be presented to the world.
It's not, but I feel like it's going to be in the bloopers anyway.
Your stand-up act is going to be hilarious. Nobody will know who you're doing impressions of. It'll be great.
This is why I don't do impressions. And also why you don't want to bone me. It all makes sense now.
Can I do a Bex impression?
Oh my god, sure.
So I was eating mac and cheese, and my sir sexted me, and I was like, oh, this is real good. And he was like, can I hit you later, pup? And I was like, I mean, not no.
All of those words were accurate.
The accent was not good, but the spirit of it was there.
No, the accent was not good.
My sir said, go get your Hitachi, and I was like, let me just pull it out of the draw.
It is pronounced draw, okay? You gotta perfect that Long Island accent, okay? So... something I know we both have a lot of opinions on mm-hmm. is, fucking hell. Cat! Okay, we're gonna do that a second time because my cat just brushed her entire torso against the mic and probably made a noise. I love you, my darling, but you are an asshole.
That's the best sext I've ever received.
That's fair. I've gotten that one too.
Damn it, I didn't get to say like one of the bad sex examples I was gonna do.
What was it?
It was the time that I was sexting with that guy about a threesome that he wanted to have with his partner, and he was trying to sell me on her, and he said, ugh, she is very good at sex.
I thought it was one guy, and then it was the other guy, and then I remembered it. Holy shit.
Yep. A shining moment in my sexting career.
That is such an important sext. Please frame it and hang it on your wall.
I mean, I wish that someone would say that about me, because that's a great thing to have someone say about you, but it was just, like, the least finessed way to express that thought. She is very good at sex.
Very good at the sex.